Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, April 13th. And the season is still over. October is still very, very far away, but the playoffs start this weekend. And we are going to talk about it. This is your boy Matt Shook, an AP writer here in Chicago covering the NBA and been following the Pistons my whole life, a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. And today we're going to be talking about a little bit of a playoff preview and tell you the team that the Pistons fans should be rooting for this spring. And we're also going to be hearing from a couple of Locked On hosts about the coaches' firings that they have been covering in Orlando with Frank Vogel and the New York Knicks of Jeff Hornacek, which happened in the past 36 hours or so. And I do have a Pistons thought, too, and we'll start off with that today. It's NBA awards season chatter time, and unfortunately, or actually maybe fortunately, considering how overdone and played out it got last year, there's not too many controversies about this season. The MVP race was decided long ago with James Harden for most people, and I have seen some Pistons-related chatter from some circles of the internet, most notably the NBA on ESPN Twitter feed had this on a tweet as one of the four candidates for most improved, and that's Detroit Pistons' own Andre Drummond. He was on a graphic along with Victor Oladipo of the Indiana Pacers, Clint Capella of the Houston Rockets, and Steven Adams of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, first off, of those groups, where is Spencer Dinwiddie of the Brooklyn Nets? Came out of nowhere to become a starter for most of the season, put up some huge numbers, had some game winners as well, and we'll be talking to him next week here on Locked On Pistons. I got a pre-recorded interview with him. By the way, I think Dinwiddie is number two on my most improved ballot that does not exist, but clearly behind Oladipo of the Pacers, who will and clearly should win the award. Now, Drummond came off a bad season last year, but he was good 2 years ago when he helped the Pistons, led the Pistons to the playoffs, got to the All-Star game as well. I think being good 1 year and then bad the next year and then good the year after that should probably hurt you in these types of situations that showed that you have this in you. Then you have a down year without much in the injury department. Although we know he had the nasal problem that he got cleared up a little bit there. But I don't think, a guy that made the leap and then stepped back and then made the leap again should get rewarded necessarily in those. But that being said, Drummond was very much improved this year from last year. He had a great season. If you've been listening to the podcast all year, you know that Andre Drummond's game has really grown on me. I've said it before. I was probably more down on Andre Drummond than the average Pistons fan and follower before this season, and the same can be said for Stanley Johnson. Now, I'm probably more up on Andre Drummond than the average Pistons fan and more up on Stanley Johnson than the average Pistons fan after watching every single game this year. But that being said, Andre Drummond is not a candidate for NBA Most Improved Player. There's really no doubt about it. In fact, I would say that Reggie Bullock should get that award over him if we're talking about just the Pistons candidates for Most Improved Player. If Reggie and Andre get some votes, get in the top 10, I don't know if there really are that many slots or if they publicize the top 10 for Most Improved Players, that's totally fine. But also, while we're on the subject, no, Andre Drummond is not a legitimate All-NBA candidate as well. They have the three teams of five guys apiece. He'll get a couple votes and maybe as a third team center on some people's ballots and maybe be on honorable mention with a couple of those votes, and that's fine. But you have to win games as a team to get individual awards, and to me, that makes sense. You know, this isn't baseball where one guy only has so much control. Andre's an all-star, a fringe all-star at that, but he's an all-star, and he maybe could develop into more as time goes on. But we can't talk about a 39-win team in the Eastern Conference that missed the playoffs by four games and complain that guys aren't getting postseason award recognition. So let's stop that before it gets too much. Now, I know there's not a lot to talk about with this team, but we've got more important things to deal with this offseason, especially the meeting coming up between Stan Van Gundy and Tom Gores, which could be a big one for the future of the franchise, and also other important things like who we won't be picking with the first-round pick that we don't have in the draft coming up in June as well. But I wanted to get down on paper my predictions for the playoff season coming up and tell you about the team that Pistons fans should be rooting for in the playoffs. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons because we are listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44 in that coveted demo. So if you want to reach those dudes, our rates are reasonable. And email me to find out more at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, you'll be hearing from the Locked On hosts breaking down the firings of Frank Vogel in Orlando and Jeff Hornacek in New York as well, with the playoff matchups are set, and there will be marathons of games on Saturday and Sunday and NBA fans' dreams this weekend. It's a great weekend for basketball hoop fans out there. We'll start in the Eastern Conference, and we'll work our way to the Western Conference team that Pistons fans should be rooting for this offseason, starting in the 1-8 out East. We got Toronto and Washington. Washington has the talent to make this one tight, but they've really sputtered to the finish in the second half of the year. It's a bad mix with Wall. Right now, the team played well without him at times when he was injured, but they didn't really, and he didn't really adapt his play when he got back. There's some infighting, famously, as well with that group. And I don't love Toronto. I'll still be picking LeBron and the Cavs to get past them in the second round. But as far as this matchup, I will take Toronto in 5 in the first round against Washington. Although not, wouldn't be shocked if somehow that became a pretty good series. And then 4-5, as mentioned, the Cavs taking on the Pacers. I've been disrespecting the Pacers all season, and I apologize if there's any Indiana fans that are listening here. And it's tough for Pistons fans because Detroit did win the season series and the 3-1 against them with a rather fluky one loss to them early on. But regardless of that, the Pacers have been very good all year. Victor Oladipo, Nate McMillan getting it done as coach of that group right now. But I don't see that they have another notch. And again, I was the guy who said midseason that that might be the team that falls off, that the Pistons could have a chance of getting back into the playoff mix and knocking those guys off in the standings. So, but again, I'm not picking against LeBron until proven otherwise. Although I do think one team has a chance to knock off the Cavs in the East, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Give me the Cavs in 6 over Indy in the first round. 3-6, Philly and Miami. I like this series. I'm interested in this one. I expect the Heat to come up big and challenge Philly. But we'll see Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid maybe lose a game or two early on in the series and grow a little bit from it and end up winning this one in 6 games. 2-7, you got Boston and Milwaukee. Injuries have really depleted the Celtics, obviously, as Kyrie Irving's out for the year, Gordon Hayward out for the year as well from the first 5 minutes of the season. So I'll go with a little bit of a mild upset pick here, and I'll take the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis takes his game to another level in the postseason like he did last year. And I'm actually going to take Milwaukee as kind of an upset pick, as being taking this one rather easily, winning this one. Give me the Bucks in 5 over the Celtics. And then the second round, I'm going to take the Cavs over Toronto. LeBron just owns the Raptors. And like I said, until proven otherwise, he's the man in the East. Give me the Cavs in 6 there. I really like that Philly and Milwaukee second round series that I'm predicting. But give me the Sixers in kind of a classic 7-game series. I'm in on the Sixers. I know it's a very popular pick. Obviously, I'm not the only one who's thinking about the Sixers making a deep run. So much talent, and Markelle Fultz adds a little bit to that team as well in terms of athleticism and freshness, kind of off the bench. And I think we'll see Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid kind of live up to the hype that they have had as young players right now. And again, I hate the process. I'm like Stan Van Gundy. I hate tanking in professional sports to try to get draft picks, but you can't argue with the success that they've had this year and will continue to have probably for the next several years as well. And then in Philly, I'm giving them a chance of taking down LeBron and the Cavs and maybe taking 2 games at home to start off the series. But then I think LeBron steps up and takes the last 4 wins in 6, reminding us that he is indeed still LeBron and will represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals again. Out West, 1-8, Houston and Minnesota. Easily with the Rockets on that one. I'll go with a sweep. 4-5, Thunder, Jazz. I really do want the Jazz to win this series, and I think they will. Put me down for that one. I'll take Utah in 7 as Westbrook and Carmelo and Paul George, that experiment ends in flames there. 3-6, kind of an interesting one. Blazers in Portland against the New Orleans Pelicans. I was very wrong about Portland this year. I was right about Charlotte. Those are my 2 picks at the beginning of the season. I thought Charlotte was going to disappoint. I thought Portland was going to disappoint as well. I was right about Charlotte. I thought they were kind of a garbage roster, despite the fact that they were kind of a chic pick before the season started. But I have to take the lumps in saying that Portland missed the playoffs, but they're a 3 seed. I mean, Dame Lillard was outstanding this year. I think he's a top 5 MVP candidate for me. But really, I think the key for them was guys like Aminu, Nurkic, and Harkless. That front line really impressed me. They've got some nice players off the bench as well. Evan Turner, as much as I don't like that guy, he's a versatile player for them off the bench. The rookie Collins did some nice things as well. So there's some guys that outside of McCollum and Lillard that impressed me for Portland. And if Nurkic can have a strong series, you know, possibly Portland can make a little bit of a run themselves. Anthony Davis for the Pelicans, he's going to put up video game numbers in the playoffs. He'll take it up another notch. He will put himself into even another level on the pedestal of NBA players, which has him going, you know, there's not very many pedestals for him to go to get to the very top. But I just think the guard advantage of Lillard and McCollum will be too much. I expect very entertaining games in this one, but only five of them. I'll go with Portland in five here. And like I said, if Anthony Davis is somehow able to get out of this series and win it with this roster, then he just continues to climb up the charts as far as NBA greats. Number two versus seven, Warriors and the Spurs. I love Greg Popovich and the Spurs, but this certainly ain't happening. Give me the Warriors in a sweep there. Second round, the Jazz are going to give Houston a little bit of a scare, so I'm going to have that series go to six, but Houston wins there. And the Warriors, I think they're going to have a little bit of an easier time with Portland than many might think, so I'll go with a five-game gentleman sweep there, kind of reminiscent of the Pistons' five-game sweep of the Lakers in the 2004 finals there. I guess my hottest take is in the Western Conference finals. A lot of people have talked themselves into James Harden, Chris Paul, and Mike D'Antoni leading the Rockets into the NBA Finals, into the championship as well. I'll believe it when I see it. I think the Warriors will hit their stride in the second round against Portland and remind us that, oh yeah, this is clearly still the best team in basketball. And I think it's going to be not a very good series. I think the Rockets are going to be handled by the Warriors with Golden State advancing in five. So, you know, while everyone's saying Houston's maybe the team to beat in the Western Conference, I still think, you know, Golden State, just thinking back about last year, how much better they were than everybody in the NBA playoffs. And if you can get them back and healthy soon, then I think that they're still, you know, obviously the team to beat. The rematch that nobody wants to see in the finals will be Golden State and Cleveland. And I think that Golden State this time will sweep the Cavs in four. Still very bored of the Golden State era. I know that my finals matchup is the same one that we were all picking to have over the last couple of years, and obviously it came into fruition. And it's the same one that we all had in the preseason of this year, but I'm not as worried about Golden State as others are, of course, with the caveat that Steph Curry gets back and reasonably healthy by maybe early in the second round or so, that Golden State should be just fine. And it should be another disappointing end of the season to see Golden State handle Cleveland in the finals again. But still a compelling Eastern Conference picture in the playoffs that might produce some new results and some new stars in the league as well. And then after that, maybe we can talk about where LeBron is going this offseason. I don't know if you've ever heard pundits and media argue and speculate about that. Or maybe what the Lakers are going to do. And maybe that's the same answer we will see going forward. Now, as far as a team that I think the Pistons should be rooting for, and I'd be interested to hear who you guys are rooting for, by the way. So reach out to me on social media. Do you have a second favorite team, or have you thought of a team that you're adopting for the playoffs this year? Or are there some practical reasons that the Pistons should be rooting for some other teams that I can't think about right now, other than obviously the ping pong balls on May 15th to somehow fall their way in the draft lottery? But I'm going to go with the Utah Jazz. And the reason is because the Jazz play that big front line. They got Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors that start, kind of reminiscent of Andre and Blake in some ways, obviously Gobert being a much better rim protector and defensive player than Andre Drummond. But then again, Blake Griffin being a more talented offensive player than any of the other three, and certainly better than Derek Favors in that way. But maybe seeing the Jazz outplay some teams offensively and defensively in the interior could maybe set a little bit of a trend toward bigger players and gas up the trade market for Andre Drummond a little bit. I've mentioned in the past looking to trade Andre Drummond, and this is not out of disrespect for Andre. As I've said, I think he's great. I think he had an outstanding year. But I'm just not sold on this roster construction of Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond working together in terms of a full season. And Andre is your only franchise cornerstone that could net you good assets if you're looking to make a deal to shake things up for the Pistons. He made a lot of strides, but really, when you look at Andre Drummond, how much better can he get in terms of things that would really be helpful for the Pistons in a winning situations? The offseason word on him that we're hearing is he will continue to work on a little mid-range jumper that could be a weapon next season. And I think first of all, he should pay more attention to his work on his touch around the basket a little more, especially in traffic with some other bigger players around. And also the short post-up game to possibly have that become a viable option someday. They started going to it a little bit more at the end of the season, and it failed miserably like it has throughout his entire career. I think as a general rule, mid-range jumpers, they suck. And I'm not an original thought by me. You know, it's just not a very high percentage and efficient shot when you're thinking about putting 2 points up and missing half of those shots anyway. Even when they're put up by good shooters or very good shooters, great shooters, mid-range jumpers aren't really what you're looking for. So you'd expect in that situation for there to be some growing pains from Andre if he started unleashing that in games. And so that'd be something that the Pistons would have to deal with. And I think he should work on it as kind of a secondary option to some of the work that he puts offensively around in the basket area. And obviously him staying in shape and staying healthy and, you know, having his athleticism, which is his calling card, continue to be strong is the most important thing for Andre Drummond. But I think just given his age and where he's at, the value right now might be the highest it'll ever be for Andre Drummond. And I'm looking at the holes in the Pistons roster on the wing, obviously, and the lack of emerging star type players out of the young kids in this Pistons group. I just think that trading Andre, maybe getting a little salary relief and getting back in maybe the first round of this year's draft and pick up maybe a decent body on the wing. If you can get a return like that for Drummond, it would be worth looking into. And obviously, you need a trade partner that has those assets and is willing to make that kind of deal. But that's why we need to be thinking about teams in the playoffs that get out-rebounded, for instance, or just get manhandled in the paint by somebody or have nobody near the rim that could serve as any kind of rim protector. And I know Drummond's not a classic rim protector, but he could grow into that a little bit as time goes on. So, you know, just things that like that to be watching during the postseason might be interesting. And obviously, I don't expect Andre Drummond to get traded, but I just think it's something that the Pistons should think about as they're looking at this roster and the salary sheet and everything else going forward. But if you keep him, it would be nice for Utah to kind of prove to the league and to ourselves as Pistons fans that a twin tower look can work as we look at Griffin and Drummond next year. And also the Jazz are a team that's got an overlooked point guard that's talented but inefficient offensively in Ricky Rubio. Does that remind you of Reggie Jackson a little bit there? And then you got guys like Joe Ingles, who's maybe their Luke Kennard, or what Pistons fans hope Luke Kennard can be in terms of a great shooter and a crafty offensive playmaker as well. The elephant in the room, obviously, here is Donovan Mitchell, the rookie. I know that the thought of him kind of makes some of you out there sick to your stomach, but if you're anti-Stan Van Gundy, maybe some first-round highlights of him outplaying Paul George and Russell Westbrook in the first round might be enough to get owner Tom Gores' attention in advance of the meeting with Stan Van Gundy next week. Another thing to think about there as well. But up next, we're going to be talking or hearing from the Locked On hosts of Locked On Magic and Locked On Knicks as they break down the firings of Frank Vogel and Jeff Hornacek. Speaking of coaches on the hot seat like Stan Van Gundy, a coach who is not on the hot seat, though, is Matt Patricia of the Detroit Lions. We got the Locked On Lions podcast with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. You should be checking that one out every day as well as the other NBA podcast. Pick your favorite playoff team and follow the Locked On podcast throughout the playoffs. We also have one for every NFL team out there if you're not a Lions person. We're adding the MLB podcast as well. Expect some news about the Locked On Tigers sometime as the summer gets rolling. But we got you covered here on the Locked On Network, your team every day. Some big news on the coaching carousel for NBA teams. Jeff Hornacek was let go by the New York Knicks, and here's James Marcita of Locked On Knicks to break that one down for us.
Breaking news out of New York today. The Knicks have decided to part ways with head coach Jeff Hornacek to the surprise of absolutely no one. He was picked by former president of basketball operations Phil Jackson, and with his final year of his contract coming up, there was a deafening silence out of Madison Square Garden about his future. The question you might be asking yourself is it fair? Did he deserve it? That might be a little bit existential. Does anyone deserve anything? But if you're asking yourself, does this make sense for the New York Knicks as an organization in order to maximize their success going forward? I would say absolutely it does. Jeff Hornacek, unfortunately, was not the guy to get them where they need to be. If you want to know why, I'll give you a couple of reasons. First of all, the Knicks ranked in the very bottom of the league in three-pointers attempted and in three-pointers allowed. It was almost as if Jeff Hornacek was unaware of trends in basketball in 2018. When asked to explain why the Knicks lead the league in mid-range shot this season, he gave a truly baffling response that relied on math that didn't have any bearing on reality. It was truly disappointing. He had bizarre explanations for his questionable rotation decisions. At one point, he said Frank Ntilikina, their rookie defensive stud, would not be starting because he would have trouble chasing the immortal Jody Meeks around screens. Interesting. KP's development stalled after a gangbusters first month, and Jeff Hornacek did little schematically to help him adjust to the added attention of being the Knicks' number one offensive option. His in-game adjustments left a lot to be desired, and he had question marks around his player relationships. Most famously this year, he got into what some people termed near physical fight with Joakim Noah, which made the Knicks have to send him home for the rest of the season. KP allegedly skipped his exit meeting last year, at least in part because of a frosty relationship with Jeff Hornacek. Is he the worst coach to ever be in the NBA? No, of course not. But in a league where every little advantage needs to be maximized, Jeff Hornacek was simply not getting it done. This is James Marcita for Locked On Knicks, signing off.
This is Philip Rossman-Reich, the host of the Locked On Magic podcast, coming to you with some breaking news. The Orlando Magic have fired head coach Frank Vogel the day after the NBA season ends. Of course, a sort of Black Thursday, if you will, as the season ends. Some of these teams that did not make the playoffs make their decisions to move on from their coaches. The Magic, though, moving on from Frank Vogel after two seasons. He wins just 54 games in his two seasons with the Orlando Magic, 29 last year, 25 this year. And while Orlando's 25 and 57 season certainly cannot be wholly put on Frank Vogel, the team suffered more than 220 games lost due to injury to some key players throughout the season. Undoubtedly, the Magic were kind of churning in the water. They started off 8-4, and then fell back into a lot of the bad habits that they've had throughout the last 5 years, throughout the last 6 years now, and never really got themselves moving forward. This is a franchise that is seemingly at the bottom, at the worst place they can be, and unable to take that next step forward. So the Magic, in their efforts to take that next step forward, are firing their coach. Seems like the logical and first thing to do. Except Orlando now will have six coaches in the last 6 years. Ever since firing Jacques Vaughn in 2014, they've gone from Vaughn to Borrego to Skiles to Vogel. Now they'll have a new coach as well next year. Some of that is certainly due to the fact that they have a new president of basketball operations now entering his second season with the team, and the team is expected to make some major, massive changes this coming summer. Vogel is not to blame for the Magic's problems. They still have a lot of roster moving to do, but whenever there's a new boss, he wants to get his own people in, and it seems like that was the move that the Magic are making today. Orlando Magic have fired head coach Frank Vogel, moving in a different direction. They'll have the fifth best odds in the NBA draft lottery as well. But for now, for Locked On Magic, this has been Philip Rossman-Reich.
Thanks to James and Philip for that, and maybe I'll be recording one of those of my own soon to be played across the Locked On Network about a certain Detroit Pistons coach being shown the door. But enjoy the first weekend of NBA playoffs, everyone. Will be back on Monday. I got the Spencer Dinwiddie interview. Got some other stuff lined up for next week as well. So thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you all again soon.